Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ranji, 104.1 FM KMOX. It is the third hour of our show. Don't forget the Gas House Gang happens at 12 o'clock today. We'll talk some Redbirds baseball with you. But right now, we go to the guest line and we talk to a regular contributor for us with us every Monday, political commentator. He is the author of the daily newsletter, So What?, an independent news creator on Substack, YouTube, and Newsphere, also contributes to News Nation. Chris Saliza is with us on KMOX. Good to talk to you, Chris.
You know, they say that your third hour guests are always your best guests. That's a very common thing in radio. So I'm flattered to be leading off the third hour.
We go to the best because we're losing steam.
We need someone to pump things up.
Yeah. So we need a little help.
That's right.
So thank you for the help.
Well, I am here.
All right. Well, Chris, being completely honest, you probably heard about the storms that hit St. Louis.
Yes.
And it's been so overwhelming. The devastation is hard to grasp. An EF3 that tore through a city. Our North City area, the Central West End,
yes.
and then
Central
stretching
West.
West.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so that has been really all of our focus, I think, people in St. Louis. And it's crazy how something like this turns your way away from, like, the cable news and the national news, and you're focused on local. And so I guess the world has been chugging along while we're busy here in St.
Yes.
Louis. And so with the president of the United States, we heard the former president, Joe Biden, was diagnosed with a very aggressive form of prostate cancer. And just kind of wrapping my head around that, what do we know about how ill he is and when, I guess, did they know he was sick before this? Is this news to them?
Yeah, well, let me first say, I think for people who have not heard me on before, my wife is a St. Louis native, and many of her friends, and went to high school and everything in St. Louis, and many of her friends still live in the area, and we've gotten a ton of pictures and video, and it is terrifying. So I know there was a loss of life, and it is certainly on the mind of the Saliza household because of our personal connection to St. Louis. So I hope the cleanup and the recovery. I know none of this stuff happens as fast as you want. And certainly for the families who were affected, it's going to be a much longer grieving process. But you are on our minds. I can assure you that. As it comes to Biden, so here's what I did. This morning, I am not a medical doctor, right? I am a political reporter, which is not a I never feel comfortable answering questions about medical things. I can talk about the politics of something like it. But what I did is my roommate in college went on to become a urologist. And so he deals with this sort of stuff all the time. I actually did on my newsletter, my Substack newsletter, I interviewed him. It's up there now. It's free if people want to see it. I would urge you to watch it. It's a video. You can look at the transcript. I would urge it because there's just a lot of facts in there. And the two that I took the most from, he made two points. Point one, he said it would be very unlikely, not impossible, but very unlikely that a PSA test, which is the blood test usually given, to people of a certain age, to men of a certain age, to detect the possibility of prostate cancer. It's very unlikely that a PSA test done in Joe Biden's annual physical in 2024 when he was president would not have detected this cancer. That was point one. Point two, and I didn't know at all, he said that the treatment typically is they do a suppression of testosterone because testosterone levels are known to fuel prostate cancer. He said one of the unfortunate side effects of that treatment in most patients is a decline in cognitive function, feeling foggier, struggling to sort of remember things. And that obviously plays into the conversation that has already been going on about Joe Biden with this book, Original Sin, set to come out tomorrow, about, you know, how debilitated was he during the presidency, both physically and mentally? Who knew about it? When did they know? What? Why didn't they say? So those are my two big takeaways. And again, this is not from Crystal as a political reporter. This is from a friend of mine from college who is a urologist who I thought that conversation was very worthwhile for people who are looking for facts about how this got diagnosed, what it means, what's next, and what can we conclude about when doctors might have known it.
So it would have been known a while ago.
That is his contention.
Most
he said,
likely.
You know, he said, well, another thing that was interesting, Chris, is he said, you know, typically the recommendations is between about 45 and 70 for men, you would do that PSA test on an annual basis. Now, Joe Biden is obviously outside of that window. He would have been 81 in 2024, but he did, my doctor friend, his name is Bart Radolinsky, he said, you know, that's with a normal 81-year-old, but this is the president of the United States. So I do think there is at least a question of, was he given a PSA test in 2024? And if not, why not? And if he was, what did it show, or did we? Why were the results not released? I think that's a fair question. Again, we're talking about the health of the most powerful person in the world, in my opinion, a president of the United States. And by the way, I will note, Donald Trump has been less transparent than Joe Biden and the least transparent president in the modern era vis-a-vis his own medical records, medical history, and health. So this is not a partisan statement about Joe Biden. I would say the same thing about Donald Trump. We just don't know all that much about these guys and their sort of well-being.
Chris, I know more will come out about that story, I guess, in his health and where he was, and we'll follow that. But I do want to ask you about a call that is it going on now that President Trump is calling Russia's Vladimir Putin to discuss the war in Ukraine?
Yeah, so, Amy, it was scheduled. That call was scheduled. Now, I've not got a readout of whether it went on schedule, but I will tell you it was scheduled for 10 a.m. Eastern this morning. So I would assume if it was on time, it has already happened. And Donald Trump was then scheduled to call the Ukrainian president, Volodymyr Zelensky, after getting off the phone with Vladimir Putin. We do not have a readout right now of either of those conversations. Did they happen and what was the nature, what was discussed? But I do think that's, I mean, look, Donald Trump wants to make a deal here. He wants to find a way to peace. He wants to be seen as the primary broker of it. You know, for a while, it looked like he was going to kind of take Russia's side on things. Then Putin obviously upped some of the attacks into Ukraine. That turned Trump against him a bit. I don't know if this is a reset. I don't know if this is a final negotiation. That would surprise me if it was. But he clearly is heavily invested in trying to make this happen.
Meanwhile, this big, beautiful bill that the House is trying to get through, or at least Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, is trying to get through, it's facing a lot of obstacles because there's a lot in it people don't like. So where do we stand on it and the likelihood it does get done by Thursday, if at all?
Well, let me emphasize that here in Washington, it is just before 12:15 p.m. Eastern time on Monday, because it could be at 12:25 p.m. Eastern time. This is different because this is a changeable situation, Chris. But what I would say is at very late last night, they passed a version of this bill through the House Budget Committee. This comes after on Friday they were unable to do so. What that basically does is clear the way for it to come to the House floor for a full vote. I don't think they have the votes currently. And a reminder to folks who don't pay super close attention to this, Republicans have a three-seat majority in the House, which basically means, you know, if somebody is out of town and two people are sick, they don't have a majority anymore. So this was always going to be fraught just because of that majority. Anytime you're trying to do a big bill with lots of spending, and this bill has lots of spending in it, it's always going to be questionable. Mike Johnson, the Speaker, has said he wants to get this done by the end of the week. I just having spent a long time in Washington, I'm going to guess that timeline gets pushed. I mean, look, they'll do it as soon as they have the votes. I'm not sure they're going to have the votes by the end of the week. I think Donald Trump is going to have to weigh in here, particularly with conservatives who are worried about the amount of spending not being balanced out by an equivalent amount of cuts in the bill. I think Trump's going to have to get involved to kind of sway them. And I will point out to people, even if this does pass the House, it will go to the Senate, which is not as conservative as the House, although it is Republican-controlled. And Republicans in the Senate will make changes, and then it will have to go back to the House for approval. So we are not at the end. This would be step one of at least three-step process here. My view, generally speaking, is they will get something done. I don't know when by, but they will get something done, mostly out of political necessity, because this is the only big thing that Congress is going to do between now and the November 2026 midterms. And if Republicans do nothing while in control of the House, Senate, and the White House, that sends a bad message that they're not going to send. So they'll do something. I don't know if it will be politically advantageous for them. I'm even more skeptical it will be economically advantageous for the American economy. But they'll do something. I just don't know exactly when.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, because there's a lot of concern about what will happen to Medicaid and, you know, mm-hmm. benefits like food stamps and, you know, stuff that helps lower income people. And there's a lot of concern about whether or not that stuff gets ripped up or, you know, damaged in some way. And our own Senator Hawley just wrote an op-ed about a week and a half ago for The New York Times, warning them not to cut Medicaid. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens if it gets to the Senate, Chris.
Well, and you know, Chris, the issue to hear, right, is there. One of the things when we talk about cutting spending by the federal government, like if you take the entitlement program, so that's Medicaid, Medicare, and Social Security, and you add the Defense Department budget, which is roughly $1 trillion, that's between 80% and 85% of the overall federal spending. Donald Trump has insisted he is walling that off, right? He publicly, he has said, we're not going to cut entitlement programs, including Medicaid, he has said, and we're not going to touch the defense budget. Well, when you do that, you really narrow the scope of programs you can cut to get meaningful savings to counteract the spending that will be in place if he extends the tax cut, which I think that they put in place in 2017, which I think they will do, right? So there are only so many places to look. I know in the House bill there are cuts to Medicaid. Donald Trump has said he opposes those. You know, does he stick to that? Does he hedge somehow? You know, I think there are going to be a lot of popular programs, not just programs popular with Democrats, just overall popular programs that are going to be on the cutting room floor here as they try to solve for where can we find enough cuts to offset all the spending. And that's when I say the political advantage or disadvantage here to me is very much up in the air.
Chris Saliza, the author of the daily newsletter, So What, is an independent news creator. You can see him on YouTube, Newsphere, Substack, News Nation. Thanks, Chris. Great to talk to you as always, and we will do it again next Monday.
Thank you, guys. And please know that we are thinking of St. Louis as you guys recover. You are on our mind and in our prayers.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Take care.
That is Chris Saliza joining us. It is the Chris and Amy Show. Want to again remind you to go to KMOX.com. And if you find the story, it's the main story right now about ways that you can help. We've been mentioning the city website a ton today already. That link is at the bottom of that page, but there are a bunch of resources, places you can go if you need help or are looking to give some help. KMOX.com is where you can find that story. It's Chris and Amy on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Well, if you're in the city of St. Louis or you're trying to figure out how to help and you're in the surrounding areas, there are some good resources. KMOX.com, you just go to that main page. We're going to have a ton of links that you can click on and donate in different ways, whether you want to make a monetary donation, you want to donate supplies, you want to donate your own physical labor. There are multiple organizations. I think the big thing is connect with an organization, as Governor Kehoe said earlier in the show, to make sure we can keep these resources organized and channeled into the right directions.
There are drop-off locations, and we have mentioned them. If you want to bring supplies, because they are looking for more than just monetary donations, mm-hmm. they're looking for tarps and for 2x4s and plywood
and masks.
Yes,
yep.
Okay. So the city has three locations. There's the O'Fallon Park YMCA, which is a North City YMCA, the Urban League on Kings Highway, and then 4144 Martin Luther King Drive. There are drop-off places. We've also had people, and I've been interacting with a texter here, who wants to know if they want to Amazon stuff, if they want to order things, where to send it. We're going to figure this out for sure. I think you can send it to one of those three locations. But we're reaching out for some clarification on it, because there are people who want to have things delivered and not necessarily drop those items off themselves. So as soon as we have good addresses to send it to, we'll let you know. But I do think it's probably okay to go to one of those three locations or use those addresses. But we're working on that.
Yes. And again, the links there, as Ronj mentioned, the O'Fallon Park. That's the 4343 West Florissant Avenue.
Yes.
Okay. There's that one. And that's for like 2x4 lumber, 4x8 foot sheets of plywood, work screws, work gloves, and N95 masks. There's also, I've been seeing this location, they're keeping their donation hours updated on Facebook, but Grace United Methodist Church is asking for clothing, food, and supplies. Again, links are going to be up. I do want to give you an update. Another good person to follow, in addition to Mayor Kara Spencer on socials, follow Mayor Kara Spencer. Follow Alderwoman Daniela Velasquez. So she has been posting constantly since the storms with the most recent updates, the most pressing needs. Here, she just posted a few minutes ago that there is a kind of a scam information going around. FEMA is not on the ground in St. Louis conducting interviews at the United Way. So if you're hearing something about FEMA at the United Way doing interviews, that is a scam. That's not real. Alderwoman Velasquez said any information regarding FEMA will come directly from the city. So she said, honestly, just be aware of scams in all capacity right now. Make sure you're working directly with an organization. And FEMA is not at the United Way today. So don't respond to anything that I guess has to do with that. I don't know exactly how they're disseminating this false information, but that is a scam.
And it's very easy to just forget in the middle of something like this, because people who are in these communities are just wanting to help, and it's very easy to fall into that that sense of security that everybody is just trying to help, right? You know, you would think, oh, great, FEMA's here. It is very good to keep in mind that there are some horrible people out there with really bad intentions and who are trying to scam you, especially during a disaster. So be very, very mindful of that. And it sucks that there are people like that, but there are opportunists who are out there trying to scam you. And it's not everybody. The vast majority of people are really trying to help and really want to do good for the community.
Yeah.
But don't let these buttholes, you know, ruin it for the rest of us. That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. A lot of questions about, you know, how you should behave during a tornado, the things you should do, just how powerful that storm was. and what we should expect later on today and into tonight. There could be more storms coming. How bad are they going to be? We will talk to AccuWeather when we come back on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Amy Marks, Kors, and Chris Ranji on 104.1 FM KMOX. And a very powerful storm came through the city of St. Louis, started near Clayton, moved its way through the city, and then over into Granite City, Pontoon Beach, and ended around Edwardsville, around the SIUE campus. And we now have an official rating of just how strong that storm was. We also are expecting some storms later, so a lot to talk about with our AccuWeather meteorologist, John Feerick, who is with us on KMOX. John, appreciate you. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
So we're great for the most part. I mean, we're a lot of the city is reeling right now. But as we look back at the storm, I saw it. Amy heard it. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty nasty. Just how strong was it?
Well, it was obviously a very powerful storm. It was rated an EF3 on the Fujita scale, and basically that means it had winds of between 158 and 206 miles per hour. So that causes obviously severe damage, and that's quite a powerful storm for our neck of the woods, that's for sure.
Well, I wanted to ask you about a couple of phenomenon that happened with this tornado, the way I feel like it formed so quickly and then became stronger and stronger, just accelerating. I was at the point where I live is like right at the point where the tornado first, I guess, became a tornado. It touched down about a half mile from where I live, but that rotation started. And I've been hearing this from people who are along that path that I didn't hear anything. It was everything was completely still. I honestly wasn't even expecting. I didn't know what was going on. It was just quiet. It was still. I look out the window. I turn on the news. They said that there might be some rotation forming. And as soon as they said that, my ears popped. My head felt like it was going to explode. And it almost felt kind of like the air was being kind of like sucked out of my apartment, for lack of a better term. I felt a little dizzy, and I had never experienced anything like that. So I ran down into the stairwell, and it was only once I was in the stairwell that all of a sudden I heard this really loud, deep, thunderous rumbling. Low pressure, but what is that, other than low pressure, can you explain to me what that was that I was feeling?
Well, basically, like you said, exactly, that the pressure drop can be very dramatic. It can be very fast when you're dealing with a tornado. That's why a lot of times you'll see a lot of blown out windows and stuff like that. The pressure differences between the inside of the house and the outside of the house where the tornado is can be quite different, and that's why you see that a lot of times. So that's basically what you're feeling, is just that difference in the pressure.
Regarding the windows, is it the pressure? I feel stupid asking this. Is it the pressure or the wind that blows out the windows?
It can be obviously a little of both. The wind obviously is blowing around a lot of debris and stuff like that. So obviously that's going to break windows as well. So it can be kind of a combination of both.
But not that old, like, I thought it was a old wives' tale, a wrong piece of advice to open your window during a tornado. Do you remember that, Ranj? They would say, well, open your window in case the pressure blows it out. But don't do that, right?
I wouldn't worry about that. I would get to the lowest interior level of your house and get to safety and make sure you're safe.
So we know a storm like this had not come through the city since 1959. Is it just chance or is it luck that they don't come through here, or is there a geographic reason that they don't physically go through the city normally?
I would say it's just more of chance than anything. Certainly, the opportunity for tornadoes to go through cities has occurred before, and it will happen again. And you know, just unlucky, unfortunately, that this one came through the city this time.
Okay, well, let's talk about the weather that we're facing today. We are seeing that there could be some severe thunderstorms. Could there be tornadic activity? Where are we looking at right now for the most, I guess, threatened areas?
So right now it looks like, and I think the greatest concern with this is that it looks like our greatest risk is coming at night. So while a lot of people are going to be sleeping, that's probably when we're going to have the greatest risk for those thunderstorms that roll through as we head through the night tonight. I think we're probably talking in the 10 p.m. to maybe 4 a.m. time frame as being kind of the greatest risk for thunderstorms to be in the area, and they will be capable of producing tornadoes again. I don't think we can necessarily say one place is maybe at a greater risk than another, other than maybe to say the farther southwest you go, you're going to be a little bit more probably at risk than opposed to areas to the northeast of the city where it's a little bit more stable.
AccuWeather meteorologist John Furyk is with us on KMOX. All right, so we were talking about what to do during a tornado. Of course, get the low ground basement if you have it. What about, we've had a lot of people who have checked in today and said that I was in my car. Other people were in their cars. And I had always heard that you want to get under an overpass if that happens. But apparently, no, that's not good. So what are you supposed to do if you're in your car and you're stuck and you can't really go anywhere?
Well, you know, that's really a difficult situation, you know, and the other times people have said, you want to find a ditch, you want to kind of stay low. It's really, you want to be as low as you can to the ground. Under an overpass isn't necessarily the worst thing in the world if that's kind of, what you're left with. You may not have much of an option at that point if you're stuck in traffic, stuck in a car. That may end up being the best option that you have.
If you're on a highway, I guess if you're on a lane, if you're on the slow lane, the right lane, you could pull over to the shoulder. But if you are, I mean, it hits so fast. If you're driving in the fast lane,
exactly,
in the middle, you just kind of slow down. I mean, because you don't want to come to a complete
stop. It's really a tough thing to do. I mean, it's a tough thing to tell people what to do, because when you're in that situation, you've got cars behind you, and it's kind of a tough thing.
Yeah,
that's AccuWeather meteorologist John Furyk. Appreciate your time, sir. Thank you for visiting with us.
All right, thank you.
So the bottom line is, if you're in your car, you're hey.
Well, I mean,
good luck.
It's crazy because there's more and more videos. Right, the age of the cell phone is you are seeing what people experienced during the tornado, whether they were in their car or in their apartments. Definitely, I saw some videos of people filming where they filmed a little too long, where all of a sudden stuff started blowing away, and then they started panicking and running towards shelter, which is not safe. Don't do that. I think it was Michelle Lee, who was someone who was driving, Michelle Lee from KSDK, she was driving on the highway when the tornado hit. And what do you do? I believe she ended up being under an overpass.
It was an overpass,
and she's like, this is where I was. You know, everyone's kind of panicking. It's just in the moment, you're making the best decision you can, but you have about 1 second to make that decision, 2 seconds to make that decision, and then it's over. It's chaotic, and everyone's just trying to do the best that they can.
It's basically a give and take there, because the overpass, usually the ones that are right over highways, are structurally sound, so they're probably going to stay intact. But also, the downside is there's a wind tunnel effect that happens. So debris that comes through, the wind speed can increase right in that area, so you could be in more danger. It's like you're left with no good options, really, at that point. If you're on a highway, I mean, there's one direction you can go, and that's straight ahead. So you're kind of in trouble. You just have to hope for the best.
Yeah, I just saw a video a couple of minutes ago from someone who, it looked like Lindell. It might have been Skinker, but it looked like Lindell, because Skinker is kind of downhill at that point around Forest Park. And the tornado was passing through Forest Park and the branches and the trees are hitting their car. It's hitting the cars in front of them. And there is there's nothing you can do. You're blocked by traffic. You're on Lindell. Like you said, hunker down, get as low as you can in the car. So that way, at least if something goes through the windshield, you're at least blocked by the door, the console, whatever it is, get down as low as you can. But you just wait and pray for the best. I talked to a man actually right after the storm on Friday as I made my way on foot, you know, down Y Down closer to Forest Park, and Big Bend and Y Down is where it first touched down. And there was a man there and his car was kind of smashed and the hood was up. And I thought, oh, did he run into something? And I asked him, I'm like, hey, are you okay? He goes, I was turning. He's like, I was turning onto Y Down when the tornado hit and it spun my car in circles and I was just being flung around. He's like, I'm okay. And I asked if he wanted to talk and tell a story. He said, no, I'm too shaken up. He's like, it's not a good day, which I completely understand. But I would describe it probably more in shock. He wasn't crying or frantic. He was just, what just happened? I can't imagine being spun around in your car and you're probably thinking, is my car going to be picked up? Is it going to be thrown up against something? Am I going to walk away from this unscathed? Tornadoes are so weird that way, how one building is completely blown up. There's a tree on it. The windows are out. The next building looks okay. It's terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, I have said already a couple times today, I got off the highway from, off onto King's Highway from the interstate right as it was directly over Forest Park. I could see it. And the wind was starting to pick up and I felt like, okay, I made a huge mistake by being in this car right now. So I turned left. And even then, driving away from it, there was wind going toward it. And that was pretty terrifying. So I can't imagine somebody who was close enough to it to have their car spun around. Because where I was pretty, I thought I had made a huge mistake.
Yeah.
Like, I was in a little bit of trouble that I needed to get out of where I was. So for that guy whose car spun around several times, he's very lucky.
And get away from windows.
Yeah.
Like, I will say, seeing how the windows just blew up, seeing how the top story of apartment buildings were ripped off, the top stories were ripped off, it is humbling. And it's something like this. You get lulled into complacency when alarms go off and there's no tornado, or, you know, we all talk like, watch out, bad weather, and nothing happens. And it's a bizarre complacency where you think, well, we're going to be okay, especially you feel like, well, tornadoes hit the rural areas, that, you know, they're out in the country, they're not in the city, and it touches down in the middle of a highly densely populated area. It does remind you why it's so important that even if you don't think it's bad, you need to take
cover. Think about what happened in Joplin, and the governor brought up Joplin, which happened in 2011, and those folks were just going about their day. There was a graduation. There was a graduation at high school, and everybody came out of the graduation, and there's a tornado happening, and a lot of people were killed as a result of it. It just kind of snuck up on everybody. And that storm on Friday, same sort of deal. We had heard during the day that there was the possibility of a storm here or there, but I don't, and maybe I missed it, but I don't recall it being like, hey, you better watch out. Today could be awful. And it turned out to be really bad.
Yeah.
So always be mindful of the storm warnings. Whenever you get them, take them very seriously.
And just as a heads up, too, with KMOX, I know a huge resource for people during storms. Obviously, my Wi-Fi was down, so you can listen to the FM. And if the FM briefly went down, there's still the AM. And that's why it's important to have that AM radio. A weather radio, as they called it. My grandpa had one in the closet. You know, he would always turn that on. And so there are multiple ways, but, you know, Michael Calhoun anchoring storm mode here at KMOX is so helpful to have up-to-date information, live information. And so, like, that's what I will be listening to.
And here's another thing that happened on Friday. It just so happened that the power was knocked out on our FM signal right after Michael went on the air within a few minutes. And that does happen during natural disasters like this, which is why the AM signal is still very important, that the AM signal was active. And it was still, powering through once the FM went out. It was restored after they got the power back on and they got it fixed. But that's the kind of thing that can happen.
Yeah.
And so very lucky to have both FM and AM signals here. And, of course, you can listen on the Odyssey app, too. There's a little bit of a delay on that, but it's good still to have the resource anyway. Amy Markscores, Chris Ranji. Don't forget KMOX.com. That is the website that you go to and you find out all the resources. If you need help, if you are looking to offer help to storm victims, KMOX.com to find that story and you can help out or get some help. It's Chris and Amy on KMOX.
Well, obviously lots of news to follow locally and nationally today. This just breaking, the Supreme Court is allowing President Trump to cancel the protected status of nearly 350,000 Venezuelans. So this was the temporary protected status that the Biden administration created in 2021, and it had been extended multiple times, as I mentioned, 2021, then in 2023. So officials approved a third extension of this temporary protected status at the end of President Joe Biden's administration. That would have kept these protections in place through October 2026. But the Trump administration had said that the program extensions were not in the national interest. So while a lower court judge barred the administration from ending the temporary protected status, the Supreme Court has said that the president of the United States does have the authority to end that, which I guess from a purely legal standpoint would make sense if it's a executive branch decision to extend the temporary protected status. I'm guessing it would be an executive branch prerogative to end the temporary protected status. So it looks like that was the legal conversation there.
Yeah. So and I believe there's still lower court a litigation that is ongoing regarding this particular matter, and I'm assuming those fights will continue. So we will see how it goes. They did not rule, if I'm mistaken, last week we talked about it, Amy, what the Supreme Court was hearing the, and now it's escaping me. We were just talking about this. We were just talking about
birthright.
It. Birthright citizenship. Yeah, yeah. So they did not rule on that yet. They just heard arguments last week.
Yes. And I know it was either May 20th, which would be tomorrow, or like May 28th.
Yep.
It will be later. And that's kind of how it generally works for these big decisions. They come in late May, early June. And so that ruling presumably will be within the next week or so. But that is for the birthright citizenship. Also a very different different deal there when you're dealing with the Constitution. You're dealing with something that has been in place for a long time, just as far as what the Supreme Court justices are looking at and weighing when it comes to the legal authority of the president. But yes, right now what we do know is the Supreme Court has allowed President Trump to cancel that third extension of the temporary protected status for about 350,000 Venezuelans. So we'll keep an eye on that as the Supreme Court session comes to an end.
And we have been talking about how you can help out, or if you are looking for help after the storm came through the city on Friday. There is the city resource website. It is stlewis-mo.gov. And maybe the easiest thing to do, honestly, is go to kmox.com, because we've got a story there listing a bunch of things that you can do, places you can go. And at the very bottom of that page, if you go there, you'll see the city's website. And so we've had a few people who have asked about sending supplies, not necessarily dropping off supplies, which you can do, because they're looking for tarps and 2x4s and masks and work gloves and all kinds of things. There are three options to drop off these supplies. Well, we just heard back from the city, who is telling us that they are working on an Amazon location, that if you wanted to purchase items to send to help out, not have to go drop them off physically yourself, you know, just to have them delivered, that they are working on an Amazon address to do that. And as soon as they get that out, we will let you know what it is. So there are various ways you can help out. And again, monetary donations, supply donations, go to KMOX.com and then find the city's website from there, and you'll be able to figure out what you can do. Or if you need help yourself.
And thank you to all of the volunteers, the first responders, the community, the neighbors, all coming together. And that is where you find hope in the midst of devastation, is from seeing communities come together and support one another.
So the Gas House Gang is coming up next. If you missed anything from this show, the Chris and Amy show, it's on the Odyssey app. We think you should download it. And you should listen to the podcast. But Gas House Gang next. We'll talk some Cardinals baseball. Nate Gatter is in for Tom Ackerman. I'm Chris Ranji. We'll talk some Cards baseball next on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now, and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer, where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.